to commence with hymn number 957. Why sinks my weak, desponding mind? Why heaves my heart the anxious sigh? Can sovereign goodness be unkind? Am I not safe, since God is nigh? Hymn 957.
from the holy word of God. Let us read in the book of Psalms. We'll read Psalm 34 and Psalm 40. Two Psalms, Psalm 34 and Psalm 40. Psalm 34, a psalm of David when he changed his behaviour before Abimelech, who drove him away, and he departed. I will bless thee, Lord, at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in thee, Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear thee, Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek thee, Lord, shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life, and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil, and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil, and do good. Seek peace, and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Psalm 40. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it, and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to us ward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips. O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head. Therefore my heart faileth me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for a reward of their shame that say unto me, Aha, aha. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, The Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. Let us pray. Great and blessed God, thou who art the everlasting God, and thou who art that absolute sovereign monarch, who does not borrow leave to be, and the I am that I am, from eternity to eternity, thou art God. And we sinful worms, we're rebels, we're renegades, we're runaways from the living God. We've sinned and come short of the glory of God. Among us, as we stand in human nature here tonight, not just here at Swavesey, but throughout the whole of the globe, there are none righteous. No, not one. But Lord, there is a hope, a blessed hope. Oh, we do pray thou art the door. We pray that we might know thee to be our way. Oh, that we might know thee to be our true light and life. Oh, that thou mightest be to us the truth that God is love, very gracious, very merciful. We plead in thy precious name, Lord Jesus, thou, thy tender mercy, remember thy covenant. Hear our cries for thy blessing. Oh, our cries for thy help. Our cries for thy mercy. To surround us all our days, our remaining days, and to truly compass about in the aeronautical of death. Oh Lord Jesus, blessed Emmanuel, bring us safely through our lives, safely through death, and safely home to God. May we know thee as our shepherd. Oh, the great shepherd of the sheep, the good shepherd. Oh, may we know, Lord, thy gracious leading and teaching and providing for us here. How we need thy mighty hand be upon us in everlasting covenant love to preserve us in the way, to help us day by day, to support us under heavy trial, to lead us forth by that right way. We might go to the city of habitation. Thou art on high now in the heavens, the everlasting God, the eternal God, and Jesus sitting there, the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Oh, thou blessed friend of publicans and sinners, remember us here at Swavesey tonight. Oh, we do pray the heavens might drop down fatness to our needy souls, the skies pour down righteousness upon us. Oh, as we come along tonight, oh, hear the bleatings of the sheep, and those desires expressed in thy word by the Greeks, we would see, Jesus. May thy name, Lord Jesus, be as ointment poured forth. Will we come and we seek and we hope to find a portion for our souls. May it be that word in season, Lord. Oh, that help from God. The pouring in of the oil and the wine of the gospel into wounded hearts and troubled spirits, those who are anxious and fearing and who indeed long to see thy goodness pass before them in the way. Do hear prayer. We come as we are as sinners, only at the beginning of prayer. Oh Lord, but sin is mixed all we do. It's not an academic thing, something we hold in our mind as being true, but Lord, it's a trouble. It must be a trouble to thy dear bride. Oh, that's a shameful part. But oh, for our shame to be hid in the robe of righteousness. May not be ashamed in that day. Lift up our head with joy among the sons of God. And wash our defilement, Lord, our fresh defilements. Oh, we seem to accumulate things as we go along. We often wondered and pondered, what an awful record. Oh, what a black record. Oh, every day there's an adding to our sinnership. It seems dreadful, Lord. But Lord, it's the state we're in. By nature, situation. But we plead this, that where sin abounded, grace might truly therefore much more abound as we rid as we read in thy word, that is therefore more abound. Oh, let it superabound over all the aboundings of human nature we pray. That we may have sweet hope while we live here. Hope in a precious Christ. Or to be able just a few times in our lives. Oh, that precious faith to look within the veil. Who their forerunners entered, even Jesus. Made an high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Oh, to look within the veil. And see our Lord, our friend, our Saviour, in majesty and glory, with saved sinners around him. The angels also, oh, we pray we know the first notes of that wondrous song unto him. Yes, Lord, have to say concerning all our providence, all our soul's exercise unto him. Unto him in the way we've been brought safely thus far. In spite of those doubts, those fears, those things we've been singing of an opening hymn. Oh, to worship thee, stand in awe and marvel, where thou hast led us safely, skillfully. Oh, when so many times we've been near shipwreck, unto him. Lord, now this evening time may the praise be unto him, the meditation be unto him, and desires be unto him, thou holy him, even Jesus, and that unknown way. Oh, that unknown way before us, known unto him, ordered by him, to safely bring us to himself and to his Father and our Father. Lord, may we trust in thee. May we believe in thee. We cast our care upon thee. Cry out our hearts unto thee. Tell thee all our troubles, all our woes. Honestly and freely confess all our sins and hide nothing. Make our worst condition known, but plead, oh, and believe in and draw from the deep, sweet well of love the blessings from thee who art Emmanuel. To believe that thou art Emmanuel, to plead with Emmanuel, to trust in Emmanuel, to come to Emmanuel. Yes, Lord, we would see Jesus this night. Well, we're a poor company of sinners, always failing, but thou art so faithful. Oh, thy faithfulness cannot fail. So may we in all our weakness trust in thee. And therefore, kind physician, in all the cases and the troubles and the worries and the vexation, the disappointments and frustrations and sins of all the people here, in pew and pulpit. Oh, may there be, Lord, some word of grace. Oh, some sweet gospel truth dropping down from the heavens into our hearts, Lord. And to each of the generations, Lord. Oh, we've been engaged in different things today. And then as all the ups and downs of the day and yesterday and the day before. Ah, oh, we pray that there may be a word in season, a portion for our souls. Bless this people, grant them thy spirit, keep them in the narrow way that leads upward, keep them to the truth, keep them tender in the fear of the Lord. May they ever be sober and grave and moderate and temperate in all things. They might indeed live in godliness and spiritual union and communion one with another and with Jesus Christ. Oh, may they be blessed. Adam, them such as shall be saved. May those humble believers in the congregation be encouraged again and again from thy word to put on Christ, walk in gospel ordinances, and do these things in remembrance of thee, the worthy Lamb, but also for them in due time, a godly pastor after thine own heart, must be thy work. Unite them in the matter when it comes. Someone appointed by thee, they may know it. Do hear prayer. So bless them together. And they pray one for another. Bear one another's burdens. Be with those that weep and rejoice with those that rejoice. Make church member and church officer feel less than the least of all saints, knowing it to be true of their own case. Yes, we know it's true. But we glory in this, is this grace given. Ah, it's grace given. Not grace earned, grace merited, grace produced by us, no. Given, precious truth, Lord. Oh, bless this people. Bless the children, little ones, the families. Oh, help parents in the training of families. Give much wisdom and grace to them in this modern age. Do hear prayer to help them. May they bring their families to thee, unto thee in prayer, thou mightest lay thy hands upon them and bless them in due time. They may be thine, solemn to bring children into the world. Often thought about your own family and grandchildren. Never dying souls, Lord. Never dying souls. Where will they spend eternity? Tremendous matter, Lord. Hear our bleatings for thy blessing to rest upon them. All that are lonely and distress and sickness, unable to be here tonight, who would be here, bless them. For those who could have been here and are happy to come just once or twice on a Sunday. Oh Lord, give them a need, a real need. Oh, they may have to come every time the doors are open. Ah, oh, hear prayer. The married and the unmarried friend in daily labours, all the very weighty matters of life, may each prove the sufficiency of thy grace, sufficient for them. We do desire to count our blessings and mercies, countless as the sand. We've read in the Psalm of thy wondrous works, more in number than we can tell. The psalmist said that he could declare, it's true, Lord. And those personal, wonderful works to us, oh, they're countless as the sand, Lord. We thank thee for thy mercies. Do send whether for another harvest, we thank thee for the beginning of the gathering, for the grain harvest, root crops, fruits yet, in many places, Lord. Ah, we believe all things work according to thy word and will. 'Tis true we need rains, but send them in thy wisdom at the right time. Oh, the weather doesn't always please us, Lord. It must please thee, though, because there's blessing in it. And chastening in it, Lord. It's all our providence, blessing upon blessing, but humblings upon humblings, and corrections in love to thy dear people. So we pray that that sensible weather, Lord, for the continuing cycle of the years, according to the promise. But pray the harvest may be gathered in safely. We're not worthy of it. The nation doesn't thank thee. Oh, the nation denies thee. But thy people thank thee. Ah, and may we thank thee for everything. So bless us now. Loose the stammerer's tongue and grant power with the word. One cannot speak without help, thy help. We cannot hear and receive without thy help. Thy help is greatly needed. So bless us together here, we pray, All that there is out of God in England among all nations and kindreds and tribes and tongues of the earth. We pray thy kingdom come. So have mercy upon us. Oh, have all the glory. As we think of our lives, oh, may not glory in the flesh. Oh, we so easily do it left to ourselves. But may we glory in the Lord. It says, we read, let him that glorieth glory in the Lord. Ah, oh, may it please thee, thou mightest have some glory here tonight to be exalted in the hearts of one another. So pardon our many, many, many mighty sins. Thy precious name, thy precious sin atoning blood. Ah, thy finished salvation. Plead thee the word of God. And thy intercession in heaven now. As we plead for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 1060. Weary of wandering from the Lord, and now made willing to return, I hear and bow me to the rod, for now not without hope I mourn. There is an advocate above, a friend before the throne of love. Hymn 1060.
complete dependence upon the help of the Holy Ghost, I ask your prayerful attention to the first book of Samuel, chapter 30, and to verse 6. 1 Samuel, chapter 30, and verse 6. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6. It is particularly the last clause upon my mind. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Godly David, the sweet singer of Israel, for how he here was in a great strait. And the sort of matter, as far as he was concerned, he realized, indeed, if not immediately afterwards, that he himself had got himself in this predicament. And yet, sovereign grace, faithful love preserved him, brought him safely through. Oh, we read, do we not, his great sin of unbelief, but where we read at the opening of chapter 27, just after the second time that Saul had been put at his feet, and Saul was humbled a second time. On the first occasion, the second, he could have killed him in a moment, but he spared him. Saul was humbled. But then something happens. Happens to you and I often in various matters and issues, doesn't it? And David said in his heart, see, friends, that happening of unbelief and the running away in a wrong direction, taking a false refuge, was a happening in his life, an event. And it began in an unbelieving heart. And David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There's nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines, and Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hand. Now, in a natural sense, that was true. Saul was not strong enough to go and get him in the land of the Philistines. Oh, why couldn't he trust in his God, who twice remarkably delivered him? Could there not be a third deliverance or a fourth deliverance? For there he was a man being prepared indeed to sit upon the throne of Israel, a very great type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And though he had that wonderful work of grace, it still did not prevent him from his follies and his mistake. And so we see here something of the greatness of unbelief. True, he was in the land of the Philistines and he lived there for that short season, but he came into even a greater distress. Wasn't Saul after him? His loyal band of followers spoke of stoning him. They're all turning on him. Left alone in dire straits because the Amalekites had just taken Ziklag, where David and his family dwelt, and taken all their families and children and stuff away. And his band of followers with him, the men you see, they lost everything. So they naturally turned on David. What could he do? Well, we're told what he did. First, he was greatly distressed. Because people often come to places where they're greatly distressed. But yes, there are measurements and strength in blessings, aren't there? But those notable blessings we've had. Real pouring in of the light and the love of the Son of God in our hearts and receiving forgiveness and, in a sense, the spirit of adoption. But then there are those blessings we receive daily in varying degrees, little helps, encouragements from a hymn, a word in season, some enlargement in prayer and hope raised up. And trials vary in their strength, do they not, in measurement? Oh, there are those times of great crisis in our lives, aren't there? Yet there are the daily troubles, the daily things that sink us down, those weights and worries that we have, disappointments, crushing blows, prayers about many things, and the Lord is silent, no answers of peace. Ah, my friends, you see, it is a warfare. The great thing is to always pray according to the Lord's will. It's not the Lord's will that we should choose our own way, make our own mistakes, or have have our own exercises merely for things that we may like or wish for, but to keep the wisdom, the love, the grace, the promise, the might and the power of a blessed Jesus in view in all our exercises. He will provide. His grace is sufficient. It's what his good will is toward me and toward you, my friends. Oh, that we ever commit our way with the glory of Christ in view. Easy to say in the pulpit, in the practical pathway of spiritual warfare, we often seem to lose our weapons and lose our courage, do we not? And in this case, David certainly did. He came into deep waters. They were greatly distressed. And as we read, the people spake of stoning him and so on. We come to this. Here was the life that could not be killed. A life that could not die in him. Oh, he had eternal life. A wonderful thing, isn't it, eternal life? Our sinnership can't kill it or make it die. No, my friends, be chastened for our sinnership, yes. The Lord may draw comforts to chasten us on account of our sins, yes. But the eternal life cannot die. The heavy trial of his own making, really, yes, brought him to God. In his, brought him to his right place and into his right mind. Encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Now notice in verse 8 we read, and David inquired at the Lord, saying, should he pursue after these Amalekites? We read in verse 18, and David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and so on. Now you see, friends, only had prayed after the second deliverance, the land of Israel. But you see, life's full of this, isn't it? If only this had happened. If only I hadn't said this, but it's too late, it's been said. When you haven't done that, it's been too late, it's been done. Oh, our many mistakes and follies and ignorance, my friends. Yes, going our own way. Left our own spirit, you know. But you see, the Lord in his wisdom leads his people safely along. Think of that word in Psalm 107. And he led them forth by the right way. They may go to a city of habitation. And here, David's sin here in the land of the Philistines. But the Lord had permitted and allowed it to humble and teach David. And maybe, I don't know, I wouldn't presume this matter. Maybe some instruction of somebody here sways here tonight. God knows. Instruction to me. My friends, there's not an event in the life of a believer that's outside the government of Christ. You mark that point. On an event in your life that is not under his government. He's not the author of sin, our sin. Certainly not the author of it. But my friends, his government's still over you. And we're humbled and instructed and corrected in every matter of our life. In other words, we're brought to repentance. Brought to repentance. Brought to repentance day by day, year by year. As poor, needy sinners, you old sages, as it were, have been in the way a good many years now, you see. Oh, have to go back still to that same throne of grace, confessing your sins. Yes, fresh sins. Fresh folly in the heart. Fresh mistakes. Oh, another bad spirit has come over you. You see, in his wisdom he leads us and humbles us and brings us under the rod of correction, but the rod of the covenant. And that rod of the covenant, my dear friends, is dominion and everlasting love and divine mercy. But there's correction, there's humbling, there's chastenings, there's instruction unto life, isn't there? He inquired of the Lord. And, oh, the divine pattern in the humbling prayer to Christ in the New Testament days, better than the days of David. Emmanuel's now come. We read of Emmanuel, didn't we? David prophesying in Psalm 40, where we read there sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. When ears hast thou opened, burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. See, this is the psalmist, as it were, receiving instruction. Then he declares Christ. Then said I, lo, I come. What have books written of me? I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. And the following two verses. How he had preached righteousness, not hid his righteousness within his heart, and declared his faithfulness and his salvation. It's a prophecy of Christ, you see. Oh, my friends, you see that glorious friend of sinners brings you now into places again and again in our lives where we are distressed and anxious and worried and troubled. But that life of God in your soul will not die under it. In covenant love, it will not die. He doesn't take away eternal life. It's never taken away. Notice the terminology, I give unto them eternal life. John 10, and none can pluck them out of his hand or take them out of his Father's hand. So as the poet says, trials work for our good. And all these things, said Hezekiah, is the life of my spirit. And so it was here with David. But David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. I want to first observe this. The sacred word, the rendering, the terminology is his God. His God. Ah, my friends, it wasn't just the God of Israel and the God of heaven and the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob he knew about. But he had a God who he could say, my God, my God. Doubting Thomas wasn't a small sin, wasn't a light matter. I will not believe except I see, except I thrust, touch. Friends, heard the best news he could have heard. Lord was risen and had appeared to the disciples. I won't believe. Ah, but the Lord, his God, you see, reproved him and said this, Thomas, because thou hast seen, thou hast believed. Seen with the natural eye. Blessed are they which have not seen and yet have believed. The eye of faith. Is the Lord your God by the eye of faith. Oh, do you see in him such a beauty, such a glory? You must come. You must call upon his name. Your case is so poor, so bad, so dreadful. Your circumstances are so trying. And though you be such a chief of sinners, sinners can say, and none but they, how precious is the Saviour. Can you say, yes, my God is in the heavens? Ah, none perished ever coming to him. I deserve to perish, Lord, but I must come. If I perish, I perish, but I believe in his faithfulness. I know who he is. Yes, have you tasted and handled of the love of God in some little degree in raising up a sweet hope? Dost thou believe, my friends, in his infinite merit? The merit of his whole being, his life, his death, his resurrection, his ascension. The merit of the King of Kings in the court of heaven is interceding tonight. He ever lives to intercede before his Father's face. Give him, my soul, thy cause to plead, nor doubt the Father's grace. God in wisdom was humbling David. Oh, my friends, we believe the Lord had a holy intention that this should be written in the canon of his word for generations to come. Because his pilgrims to the end of time are no different to poor David. Well, we make our mistakes. We say this, we say that. We do this, we do another thing. Just like David, one day I shall perish. But what a sin. You see, just consider the scene, those two scenes briefly, you see, in the cave and in the valley. Sword at his feet, my friends. Sword at his feet. What a powerful demonstration that David's life was precious. He'd been anointed. He'd learnt the love of God, received it in his heart as a shepherd boy around the mountains around about Bethlehem on the hills. And then he was anointed by Samuel to be king over God's people. And by, he'd seen the wonderful hand of God. And he'd seen a veteran foe put twice at his feet. It wasn't a small sin. Unbelieving thoughts are not small things. Oh, they're akin to rebellion. They deny his love. They deny his mercy, his faithfulness, his glory. You ponder it. So it wasn't a small sin. We may think so. Ah, but you see, after those powerful demonstrations, unbelief. Well, I have to confess my own guilt in my life so many times. Alas, Master, how shall we do? Said the servant to Elisha. But you see, my friends, the mountains round Dothan were full of chariots of fire round about the prophet. Oh, the preservation of the dear people of God. You see, dear child of God, you're excited about your soul. Your dying pillow is appointed by God. The means, the suddenness, or the gradual decline, whether it be a pillow or outside somewhere, we simply don't know, mustn't speculate and think wild or vain thoughts, but appointed by him. This life of a saint is immortal till his dying moment appointed by God. And that mortal then puts on immortality. You're immortal to your dying day, because we're immortal, as you see. We've got to die. But your life is preserved until that moment. And in that moment, You as a poor mortal puts on immortality. Particularly we think of the resurrection. He gathers the spirit of his dear people, his love to make himself known, safely into glory. So David encouraged him, the Lord his God. Now just very briefly, I must hasten on. How did he know the Lord was his God? First, my dear friends, by the secret call, the opening of his heart. We don't really know the call by grace, as we would term it, of David, do we? And many other of the saints in the scriptures. We read of their exercises. They became exercised. Fleshly side of us would like to have a clear dramatic call so we can't doubt anymore. That's not the way of wisdom. You become exercised about your soul. Comes a great matter with you. Oh, eternity, all its endless ages opens up. Feel our sinfulness, our guiltiness, our wretchedness. But we have a life in our heart. Deep down you know he is God. And particularly led by the Spirit, more and more sweetly, it becomes, as you journey on, thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Oh, and there are times and seasons you can say, like Job, I know that thou canst do everything. I'm sure, as the sweet singer of Israel, in his early days, David could go in with Job and say, I know the Lord can do everything. But here, he had failed. He'd failed his profession. Ah, he'd forgotten that the Lord did so much by placing Saul at his feet twice. And so a fit of unbelief comes over, and now he's in great strait. My friend, there was a wise ordering in all this in David's life. It was to prepare him, of course, for the kingdom, the wisdom of God in all the details of providence, and your details of your providence and my providence. It's his gracious government. The word of the Lord is tried. I read those two psalms because there you see David expresses cries for help. There he traces out the difficulties he was passing through, the sorrows he had to walk through. And yet expressions of faith. Towards the end of Psalm 40, make haste to help me, O Lord. Be pleased to deliver me. Ah, my friends, how he indeed knew that the Lord was his helper then, didn't he? Yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Precious truth, isn't it? Psalm 34, this poor man cried. There was a poor man crying. Many afflictions of the righteous. And so he knew many afflictions. He didn't know afflictions of body as well. There were those times when he was sick, but many sorts of afflictions. Oh, the trying of his faith, soul afflictions, providential afflictions. Yet so he could say, the Lord delivered him out of them all. Many afflictions the righteous have. But the Lord delivereth, you see. And he proved it. Now, is it in this way of prayer and trusting and fighting the fight of faith and calling upon God and persisting at the throne of grace? We do need that precious gift of faith in that aspect of the exercise of faith, persistence, to persist. You may be faint. I know it myself. Often try and give myself to prayer. Perhaps wake up in the night and start spreading things before the Lord. And I found my mind's wandered. So what do we do now? Just give up because we feel so ashamed and so wretched. We have to go back to it, my friend. Lord, help me to pray. Thou art Jesus. In this we learn, yes, what poor vessels we are, how weak, prone to wandering mind as well as feet. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love, distracted here, distracted there. Men ought always to pray. Not my words, the words of him, men ought. Yes, my dear friends. The poor minister says to you tonight, quoting the word of God, that Jesus said of you and of me, that we ought always to pray and not faint. God's great high priest, touched with the feeling of our infirmities, knows our proneness to faint. What a merciful, loving heart he has. His tender, loving heart engaged with everlasting surety. Glorious truth that we ought to pray. Well, you see, David knew this by fighting that fight of faith. Oh, that we might persist in prayer. We may weary the Lord in a gospel sense, that his loving heart relents and says, yes, you're a bad, bad sinner. Oh, you're a dreadful character, but I love you. I am Jesus, I died for you. I'm faithful to my word and promise. He answers our poor prayers. May we know it more in our lives, my friends. Yes, to persist at the throne of grace. And another thing you see, to really, as David called on the name of the God of Israel, the name of the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, but nevertheless, to call upon that glorious person his Father has named, even Jesus, Saviour. He shall save his people from their sins. And Christ, the anointed of the Father, the anointed one, anointed to save, anointed to bless, God's great anointed King in Jerusalem, who can do everything, upholds the world by his power, his word, upholds the poor, troubled believer struggling along, upheld, preserved, kept. That one, my friends, that King of glory, anointed to be king and anointed to be high priest, to hear your prayers. You may be very poor in prayer. You may indeed have much conflict of soul, many worries and troubles, or you may have many sinful infirmities, sinful propensities with you, those besetments that beset us all, one or another. Yet, my dear friends, he's been anointed to intercede for all these comers. I'm very comfortable, I feel, about the ceremonial law. The priest was obliged, under the command of God, as all things were done according to the pattern given by the law of Moses, they had to offer on the behalf of the comer, intercede on behalf of the comer. They couldn't be partial in the matter. They were appointed by God in that. Providing the comer came with the right sacrifices, the right way, the right manner, and so on. It was very detailed, of course. They couldn't refuse. They could say, well, I don't like you. Oh, no, I won't offer for you. If they did, they're unfaithful to their office. Now ponder the glorious truth of that. The Lord Jesus. It shall come to pass that whosoever, the vilest sinner here tonight, the chief of sinner, oh, the impossible case, man with the most wicked heart, oh, such strange circumstances, like David, there's just but a hair's breadth between your soul and death. Trying scenes. Is anything too hard for the Lord? He, my friend, been appointed to hear the prayer of the destitute. He will regard the prayer of the destitute, not despise their prayer. Therefore, he must be faithful to his office. and to his word, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But look at your sins. Look at your sins. Yes, my friends, the safest thing that you can do is to confess them to the Lord Jesus and plead his precious name, his great sacrifice, his great love, and tell him you're unholy. Unholy in your prayers, but you must pray because he's Jesus. I've probably said this here before, it won't matter repeating. Years ago, as early married days, walking home from work and feeling so wretched and defiled, we'd heard on the Sabbath of the precious blood of Jesus, and it struck me rather, it's my only hope, so I ventured to try and plead the precious blood of Jesus, that I might be forgiven and accepted. And the voice said, if you do that, you'll pollute it. It was the devil, of course, an unbelieving heart along with it. And you know, it stopped me. I just couldn't, I was frightened of polluting that blood. But mercifully, the Lord appeared later. Oh, I saw, blessed be God. I couldn't pollute it. So I confessed my sins. It cleanses. Believers can't pollute it in humble petitions and confessions, though they fear they might do, because they're so bad, and he's so pure and holy, and that blood is the holy blood of the everlasting covenant, but shed for filthy sinners, filthy sinners. Sinners concerned, number they, how precious is the Saviour. Yes, I'm digressing somewhat, aren't I, but my God, it says here, the Lord, his God, encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. He had proved the Lord's wonderful working to this moment of time. And of course, later in his history, it seems so much more unfolding of his wonderful works to him. So he encouraged himself. Now here's the musings of the heart. If you're exercised in your soul, you have musings and thoughts and meditations, and the heart, as it were, throbs after the Lord Jesus. You speak to your own heart, you commune with your own heart. And so you say in your heart sometimes, yes, no one can help me but Christ. There's no one else I can go to but the Lord Jesus. No one can really understand my case or compassionate my aggravating case but Christ himself. Holy Ghost, give us some pleasing, gracious understanding of the glory of that blessed one who sits at the right hand of power, able to save them to the uttermost. But this man, the sacred terminology of it, but this man, this living, loving, holy man, Christ Jesus, the divine Son of God. Ah, but this man, because in continuity ever hath an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Often think of that verse showing the narrowness of the way that come unto God by him. Now that's the narrowness of the gospel. Oh, some people make lots of rules and regulations and keeping the law and doing this and doing that, and well, that we must leave. But I see a beauty in that narrowness that come unto God by him. That's the narrowness that saves sinners. Narrow way. Jesus only. A poor man calling upon the Christ he believes in, committing his woe and casting his care. Ah, the Lord his God. Encouraged himself because, you see, he encouraged himself because he knew who Christ was. Well, we say he knew who his covenant-keeping Jehovah was. those able with favour to prophesy of Christ. He believed, as Abraham did, and as Seth did, the covenant promise. Rather, I should have said Abel, as Abel believed, in the covenant promise, the seed of the woman. They knew there's one yet to come. They embraced it by faith. They did not know the detail. We know the detail in our day. We feel the power of the sweet truth. He's risen. He's risen upon us with healing in his wings. But yet they look by faith to that promise, to that truth. David did. Ah, my dear friends, you see, he encouraged himself. Now, I believe that the Lord's people, they have this self that is their exercise. I know we often speak of a carnal, wretched, rotten self. That's true. But here, this himself, you see, speaks of the tender fear of the Lord in David, the eternal life in David. You fear God this evening. Yes, I know you've got a rotten self. You say, like Paul, but I am carnal, sold under sin. A wretched man that I am, should live me from this body of death. But is he here, this himself is the man of grace speaking, a new man of grace. He knew in whom he believed. If you're a true believer, you have a peculiar witness, don't you? To be the chief of sinners sitting here tonight, you know whom you believe to be that blessed one, who alone can come where you are and bless you and deliver you. But of course there's warfare. The warfare is traced out in the Psalms, traced out in the accounts of the godly, traced out by the Apostle Paul. There's no question about there being a warfare. But you know in whom you believe because you need him. If you have the life of God in your soul here tonight, you know you need Christ and all that's in Christ. You may feel it's a poor life, for that faith is so low and so poor. But I think we should be careful. A little of the life of God in your soul, not a poor thing, you know. It's not a poor life, really. You seem poor under it. It's rich. You have eternal riches. If you really are exercised about your soul to win Christ, you have eternal riches with you. But grace makes us know our poverty, our ruin, our rags. That same grace makes Christ, yea, the beginning of a living, bright reality. You need Christ and all his tender compassion, his mighty power, and to arise with healing in his wings. You feel your need of God to deal graciously within your life, your life, your pathway. The older I get, I need more gracious dealings. And I say gracious dealings. Lord, to be merciful to me, to be more gracious to me. He has been, but I'm still that old sinner. And I need more grace and to deal, yes, much more graciously after all these years of failings and mistakes. To pray for merciful deliverance and more help. Or if you've got the roots in your soul, you've got that eternal life here tonight, you have that great need of the Lord to yet deal very graciously with you. As you are made wise unto salvation, realizing your ignorance, your weakness, your vulnerability. Oh, so prone to wander, so prone to backsliding, so prone to our besetting sins. Oh, how we need to be kept and preserved in Christ. A great need of all that's in Christ. Another thing, we need the Lord to be that performing God. Oh, to lead us. That we may truly walk in his word, his way, in praying our way along, committing our way, inquiring of the mind of Christ over his dear church, yes, and you as an individual in his church. See that company of saints, they're united in the things of God, but each one has a case, his personal case. He's got his own pathway to walk, has to commit his way to the Lord. He needs help, yes, that peculiar blessed help to him in all his matters, in all his wanderings, in all the trials he meets with, in all the dangers he passes through. Oh, how we need the Lord to be that performing God and to make a way for us where there seems no way. How you want to know in even a greater degree than the precious hope you have now, something of the precious efficacy of the blood of the everlasting covenant. Now these are blessings rich and rare. The Holy Ghost, indeed, to apply the blood of the covenant to a man's heart and conscience isn't an everyday event, has an effect every day of your life. Not an everyday pouring in, though, is it, my friends? But it's those things that establish a man in the covenant. And don't be afraid to seek for such things. The devil will say, you never find. Oh, don't ask for things like that. That's too great a blessing for you. Just go on as you are and keep hoping in that vague sort of way you'll get through. He's a liar. That precious Jesus saves poor sinners. Think of that woman at the well. What a rotten life she was living, friends. Not that she had lived, she was living it then. But the Saviour came to her. That salvation, the Saviour comes to sinners, you see. He spoke to her of he being the Christ. The word entered in, didn't it? Come and see a man that told me all that ever I did. It's not this the Christ. But going a little further upon this thought, you see, ask the Lord to make himself to you a living, bright reality. More precious than all earthly matters. And yea, more precious than the gold of Ophir, we have that expression in the Word of God, which is a very precious gold indeed. Oh, more precious far than all the earth can offer and give and satisfy. And how we need, my friends, the Lord to prepare us for our dying day. I'm having to skip over one or two thoughts because time is failing, but oh, friends, to be with you, to give divine contentment. I did have a thought on my mind earlier today of, can with that word be content with some things as ye have? Let your concept without covetousness be content with such things ye have, for he has said, I never leave thee nor forsake thee. But it dissipated from my mind. But it's worth it. It comes back to remembrance. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee, seeking soul. Be content with thy lot. Inquire of the Lord. A covetous conversation is often a complaining conversation, a rebellious conversation, frettings, unbelief. The Lord will provide, my friends. With heaven at his command, he waits to answer prayer. But oh, many things in our lives. But he who has helped us hitherto, through all our journey through 199 says, here I raise my Ebenezer. Hither by thy help I am come. And I hope by thy good pleasure, safely to arrive at home. But now finally I must close. I've rather wandered about, but I must come to this last thought then. Yes, as we encourage ourselves, he's been appointed to save us in life and in death. That our own article we so much naturally shrink from and put back the back of our minds. We can't put them out of our minds. We try and put them back of our minds. But it's good to ponder it. Weigh up the present scene with the dying moment. And ask the Lord to bless us, that same Jesus, faithful, been so good, and will be good, standing here tonight. I'd indeed provoke the Lord to put me out of the ministry if I told you he's not faithful. If I suggest that he wasn't good, he's blessedly good. He's faithful, friends. I'm as poor and needy as you are. You have doubts and fears, and so does your minister. But we come to that blessed one we daren't deny. We cannot deny. Oh, beloved Emmanuel, dear friend, he's far more blessed and good and faithful than you can give him glory of. Oh, we cannot really rightly render honour due to him, and I cannot express rightly and properly that he's worthy to receive in expressions from mankind, for faith believes it. May we commit our way, lay up prayers. The apostle did. Who is more favoured in soul than the apostle? Right into heaven. It was in the body, out of the body, right into heaven. And how he saw things he could not write, not lawful, things too wonderful for fallen man to hear of. And yet, what was the effect? He pressed toward the mark. Didn't sit back and say, I'm well assured I'm going to heaven, I'm a good Christian, I no need to worry. Oh, the Lord has saved me, and that's it, sort of attitude we many have. You see, he laid up prayers. He pressed toward the mark, the vital thing, isn't it? May we lay up prayers against that coming day, my friends, and encourage ourselves, because he's so blessedly good, much more I'd love to have spoken of, more of the person of Christ and his finished work, but time seems to go. Oh, that precious blood speaks in the court of heaven. Oh, he reigns gloriously triumphant. He knows all about tomorrow for you and I. And next week, my friends, as spared. For he said to these seeking souls, I'll see you again. Oh, he knew that they would weep. He knew they'd be distressed at his death. I'll see you again. Your heart shall rejoice. Speaking of resurrection. And your joy no man taketh from you. But when he went to glory, he sent another comforter, that dear Holy Ghost. And he it is that makes you need Christ, shows your need of Christ, reproves us for our sins, and yet puts prayer in our heart and excites us in that prayer and directs us to the throne of grace and distills the sweet truth in our soul and brings these precious words of Scripture to bear in every heart, in our conscience. We go to a good God. Well, David here made a terrible mistake. But he encouraged himself, the Lord is God. He inquired and he recovered all. There's a pattern there of the pilgrim pathway. And what a recovery of all when you get to heaven. All your possessions left behind, your home and your families and all the things we possess will be left behind. You won't need them. They're worse than useless to get to heaven, aren't they? But you'll recover all. Ah, the first glorious revealing, the first hope. You enter the full ocean glory of with God, with God. Let us ask the Lord's blessing upon the word. Lord, bless thy own word of grace. Ah, may we recover all, Lord. May we encourage ourselves in the Lord our God. May we inquire of the Lord. Grant it to us, Lord. So follow with thy blessing. Pardon all spoken wrongly. Grant journeying mercies now. Take all under thy shadow. We plead for Jesus, Christ's sake. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Paul Austin will preach next Lord's Day in the evening, and Mr. Wheatley on Tuesday evening next week. Let us close with hymn 395. Behold the throne of grace, the promise calls me near. There Jesus shows his smiling face and waits to answer prayer. Hymn 395.
Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet communion and comfort of the Holy Ghost abide with us each, both now and forevermore. Amen.